We are grateful. And so, Lord, as we come to share your word once again, we come fully cognizant of the human limitations of our human mind, both to declare as well as receive this word as we ought. And so we come to ask for mercy. I in particular come to strip myself of every confidence I have in what I prepared, in what I may know. All that doesn't matter now. My confidence is in your mercy, Lord God, upon me to use what I prepared, to use all that I've known to bring forth this word in power, in accuracy, yet in the simplicity and in the love and the comfort of your spirit in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord God, as I speak, Lord, you will speak through me, that there will be a free flow of your word, of your power in the word, Lord, from you through me to the people. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, let your power, the power of the Spirit, back it so that wherever men hear it, whether here or later on by electronic means, Lord, the word, Lord God, will bring forth fruit in their lives, for you will enable them by your mercy to be doers and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak. You will help me to be concise and precise, not say anything unnecessary. Bring it forth out of the treasures of your word, things both old and new, as a scribe that is instructed unto the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. As I speak, O Lord God, let your power and your presence fill the atmosphere, breaking every need and breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation of your word, causing our wills to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, O God, causing our emotions to be tempered and controlled even further by the power, the fruit of the Spirit, especially divine love. Father, I pray, Lord God, for your mercy upon me. Lord, as I duck under the anointings of my fathers, you put upon me their mantles. So as I speak, I will speak as an oracle of God. And this word will go forth as a river of life, a river of refreshing to all, myself included, but especially to them that as they eat and drink of this vine that they have planted, they will truly be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. You do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, all that we can imagine. Because of your mercies, because of your faithfulness, we pray, ask, and receive. In the matchless name of our Lord and King, in Jesus' name. And the people say, praise you, the Lord. We thank the Lord for this great honor, the privilege again to come to share the word, and it is indeed a privilege. We do not take it for granted at all. I've titled it, Love Divine, the Only Answer. I want to thank God for Pastor Dio's message in the morning that has prepared the way, amen, for this message. So I want to thank God that he's gone ahead of me. When I began to prepare this word, it was just a word in my heart. And I believe the Lord spoke to me, but he has said so many things already, and you'll see as we go on by the help of the Holy Spirit, that has confirmed that this is what the Lord wants to talk about today, that is divine love. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we stand at a very precarious and very perilous, the Bible says in the last days, perilous time shall come, a perilous time in human history when we see all these events that are taking place in our midst. We stand at a crossroads politically, amen, financially, economically, all over the world, amen. There's so many swiftly unfolding events in the earth at this time, and you can hardly catch your breath as one unfolds, something else has happened, amen. We've seen the rise of Islamic fundamentalism, ISIS. We've seen Brexit has taken place. That's still shaking the United Kingdom right now. We see here in our own nation the change that they promised, but it's not the change we thought we got. Amen? All these things are causing a shaking of the nations. Amen? And finally, as you all know or should know, the, shall I call it, momentous American presidential elections, which threw up everybody, practically everybody in the whole world, a curveball. A curveball is, it's a baseball term. When you throw a baseball and it curves and shakes and you swing and miss it. Everybody missed what was going to happen. And it took the whole world by surprise. So we now have the 45th president-elect of the United States, Donald Trump. Nobody saw it coming except maybe one or two people and, of course, himself. Amen. But the point is, as a result of this election, it has caused one of the most bitter, divisive times in American history. Amen? The election, we all know what's going on. All you do is just switch on the television. You see the results of that particular election. It's still, even up until yesterday, you know, there's so many things going on, protests all over the place. People are up in arms. They say, this is not our president. This is not my president. Amen? And As a result of this, the voters who voted for the other side, the problem is this. Let me just say it. I don't want to dwell too much on this. The problem is words. Words have power. Hello. The entire creation was made by words. And man was made in the image and likeness. When a man speaks words, they have a power behind them, whether good or bad, to come to pass. And that's exactly what is happening in America today. All those words have gone forth and they have started creating images in the hearts of the people that have heard them. Amen. But God is going to have mercy. Amen. God has an answer. And that's where this message came from. When I was watching the images on the television the other day. Can we lower that thing just a little bit? Just in the background, so it's almost imperceptible. Thank you. I don't want to be competing with it. Thank you. A little bit lower, please. Thank you. A little bit lower. Thank you. Aha. There we go. All right. That's it. That's fine. Now, this message came as a result of my watching these images. And as I was watching the images of these people on the streets, they were angry. They were, I don't use that word. They were incensed. That's the word. Amen. And they were protesting, not just in one place. Before it was 25, I don't know how many cities now, it was about 25 cities. And then, as I watched this image, I was reminded of the scripture which pastor has been preaching from over these past several months. Amen. Give me Luke chapter 21, we'll start from verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Amen. Now, look at this, let's read it together. We've read it so often, so we're all pretty familiar with it, but I want to use it as a basis for what I'm going to begin to say. Help me, Lord. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, what? What? Distress of nations with perplexity. Nobody knows what's happening, what's coming. Now, check this. The sea and the waves, what? Roaring. Let's read the next verse. Remember that word roaring. We'll come back to it. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking for those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, I went out here, and very quickly, to go back to that last verse, the previous verse, verse 25. Thank you. Uh-huh. It says the sea and the... Now, he's not talking about the Atlantic Ocean. He's not talking about the waves of the sea or Bar Beach. He's talking about the multitude of humanity, the sea of humanity. We're not necessarily go there. Okay, let's look at Revelation 17 quickly. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, quickly. And he says unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horses are, the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, or ethnic groups, tribes. Those are the waters. And he says those waters are roaring. That's a very, very descriptive term. So, humanity is roaring. Why? Verse 26. Not Revelations. Verse 26 of Luke 21. Thank you. Why? This is why. Men's hearts are failing them for what? For what? For what? And for looking after those things that are coming to earth, for the powers of heaven are being, not shall be, are being shaken. The point here is that we're in a season where the multitude of men are roaring because of the what? Fear in their hearts. Fear for what? What's going to happen that they can't see? What they can't predict? Amen? Hello? The unknown. Fear. I mean, folks, fear is the current state of the world that we are in today. Well, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you go. Whether it's in Nigeria, in China, in America, in England, everybody is saying, hey, what has happened? And so the nations are roaring. That roaring is always linked to fear. Give me quickly Psalms 38, verse 8. Just put a scripture behind them. Just bounce off it and continue. Psalms 38, verse 8. Quickly, please. This is David speaking. It says, I am feeble and sore broken. I have what? Speak that word out loud. I have what? When you roar, you don't make a soft sound. It says, by reason of what? The disquietness of my heart. So that roaring is coming from the disquietness, the fear, the uncertainty in the heart. What is a roar? I actually went to find out. Now, because when you think of roar, you think of lion. I've never heard a lion roar, but those who have told me what a lion's roar sounds like, when you hear it, you will shake in your boots. And it's a very powerful, sustained, deep-throated exclamation. It's a powerful sound, a cry, roar. And I believe God showed me that this is what's going on now. Now, there's a purpose to that roaring, but we'll get there in a minute. But the essence, I believe, Lord showed me that there is good news. Amen. It is not only the fearful that are roaring. It is not only the destitute that are roaring. It is not only the ones that don't know what's going to happen to them that are roaring. Yes, they are roaring. But there is a roaring that is going on that is not about disquietness and fear. Amen. And the Bible says in Luke, give me the book. We're going to look at this in Luke. We're going to compare the two scriptures. Give me Joel chapter 3 verse 14. Hallelujah. Hello somebody. Are we following? We're talking about roaring of the waves. Amen. There's a roaring in the sea. There's a roaring in the humanity. But then there's another roaring. Hallelujah. That God is going to use to deliver and to save. Amen. It says, let's read. Multitudes. Multitudes. In the valley of decision. Stop. Valley always represents a place of trial. A place where you have to decide what you're going to do. A place where God puts you. How many remember the valley of bones? Hello? Where God, all those dead bones are there. And then God comes and puts them all together. And then bone joins to his bone. And bone joins to his bone. And what happens? The Bible says a mighty, exceeding great army develops. The valley of Elah. How many know the valley of Elah? Valley of Elah. Goliath. That's where David slew Goliath. He was slay your Goliath in Jesus' name. But the Bible says, that talks about when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the time of trial and testing. We are in a valley right now worldwide. And you have to make a decision. Go back. Okay, thank you. Go back. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For what? The day of the Lord has come. It's not coming. It's here. Where? In the valley of decision. It's time for everybody now on the face of the earth to make a decision. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to keep roaring in fear or join this other group I'm about to introduce by the Spirit? Amen? Hello, somebody. All right, next verse, quickly. Now, if you read these two verses, you find out they describe exactly the same conditions as in Luke chapter 21 that we just read. Same conditions. Let's read it. It says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened. In Luke chapter 21, 25, it says, there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and stars. We know what that means. The four blood moon tetrad, the eclipses that have happened, all these things that are showing us that the time for our redemption has come. Amen? All these things we've been talking about, the four blood moon tetrad, the solar eclipses, you know, we're in that season now. So it's talking about exactly the same time. It says, the sun and moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Next verse. And the Lord also implies there was another place roaring was taking place. What is that roaring is going on? The Bible says the Lord also shall do what? Roar. Where? Out of Zion. Hello, Lion of the tribe of Judah. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. Whoa. Let me not get into that. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. This roaring is going on as I speak. The Bible says, yet once more I shake not only the heavens but the earth also. Amen. It says, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and the desire of all nations shall come. As the earth, the sea, and the waves are roaring for fear, we are also roaring. And you know what? That is the roaring that is causing a shaking of the heavens to bring the desire of all nations to come. And the whole world will now decide and see. But this is where they're going. So we're talking about the same time period. Amen? Everything has been shaking. America, in Britain, in Nigeria. America is our twin nation. Amen? We will continue to pray. Amen. An unprecedented shaking. But what I want to see here is that this time of the shaking and the sea and the waves roaring, this second roaring is out of Zion. God is speaking out of Zion. And this scripture reminds me of another scripture in the same vein. Give me Psalms 110 verse 1. Hello somebody. We're building up. Psalms 110 verse 1, please. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. How? Next verse. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength, where? Out of Zion. So, in one place says, roaring out of Zion. In another place says, send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. One is the same as the other. The roaring from out of Zion by the Lord is a rod of strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of the enemies of the Lord. Amen? Do we get this? So, roaring is the rod of God's strength. Now, backtrack. If roaring is the God of God, or there is the rod of God's strength from out of Zion, we're doing a bit of a deductive logic now. It also means that the roaring of the waves and the sea of unregenerate humanity is the rod of strength of the devil out of the mouths of human beings. QED. Do we agree? If the roaring out of Zion is a rod of God's strength that is sent forth to rule in the midst of the enemies of the Lord, so also the rod of strength of the enemy is the spiritual power that is being released into the earth through the roaring of the waves and of the sea. Let me tell you, folks, both God and Satan must have spiritual power through the hearts of men to work on earth. The only thing that one is legit, the other one is iniquity. Hello, somebody. Oh, dear God, help him. God will do nothing on the earth. He cannot do. He's done that. He did purposely. He said, the Lord will do nothing on the earth, except he does it through his people. He said, the heavens are his. The earth is given to the sons of men. Satan has to obey the same rules. So what does he do? He gets people who are unregenerate, who have not the life of God in them, to begin to speak forward words. And you know, it's a difference between speaking and shouting and roaring. Let me give you a case in point. All of us do it. When you speak, you have, hello, whether you say mathematics or you're talking quickly or you're just blessing somebody or speaking the scripture, power is coming out. Depending on what kind of heart you have. Luke 6:45, please. Hello, somebody. Everybody's looking at me funny. We should know this. This is Psalms 1. This is a foundation of faith. Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For, this is the principle now, of the what? Abundance of the house, of the heart, his mouth, what? Speaketh. So, it depends what is in your heart that comes out when you speak. It doesn't matter what you're saying. Just open your mouth. Whatever comes out is spiritual power. You can't see it. But it's what affects the nations. The Bible says the worlds were created by the word of God, so that things which are made were not made from things which do appear. Hello? This is the principle. So when there's a roaring going on by an evil man, he releases the evil treasure of his heart, iniquity. How do I know there's iniquity there? He's not born again. He's not connected to life source. Hello, somebody. Remember Satan? When the Lord says that thou was perfect in the day that thou was created until what? Iniquity was found in thee. In other words, in creation up until the time was found in Satan, before he fell, there was no iniquity in the entire creation. It was found as a result of his heart separation from his creator. And that's what happens when every pastor who was preaching this morning says, when sin came, or when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. There's a connection severed when anybody sins. Like he said, everybody is born righteous until the point when the commandment comes. When they disobey the commandment of God, they're cut off. Amen? So that's why you have to get born again. But the essence is, when that happens, iniquity begins to form. Because you see, the life source has been removed. The life source from God has been removed. So the life of God that was inside the spirit at that moment begins to atrophy. Begins to putrefy. And it may take a long time, like it took Adam 900 years, but eventually, unless that life source is restored, that person will die spiritually and physically. That is not your portion. We're explaining the principle, all right? So, iniquity. And so these people, as they're roaring, as they're crying out, as they're speaking these words, how many people remember? Have you ever been to a... They're not good angels, just saying. The Bible says, I shall not fall a multitude to do evil. Say amen. But have you ever been or seen on TV what they call a peaceful demonstration? People are just marching, carrying placards. They're chanting war songs. No, we don't want it. Not my place. Then all of a sudden something happens. And it just becomes a free-for-all. What happens? Iniquity. Iniquity is being released into there through their mouths. And Satan charges the air with that iniquity. And all of a sudden, what was peaceful turns around and becomes a violent protest. It happens so often. That's why you don't want to be there. Hello, somebody. You're not a... Father, forgive me. You're not a placard-carrying Christian. You carry your books, you go into your closet, and you pray. That is your own protest. Hello, somebody. You too will roar. Amen. I'll be going around with people doing demonstration. What are you demonstrating for? When your God is in control. So, in the same way when we travail, we also roar. Hi. Pastor Dave, thank you for saying that word this morning. Concentrate, focus. Let the thing come from your belly, out of your belly, with rivers of living water. Amen? Amen. The Bible says the earnest, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man does what? Makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in his working. That's what we do when we pray in tongues, when we travail, when we groan. We are roaring. The Lion of Tribe of Judah is roaring through us. Hello, somebody. Now, this violent roaring of the wave, of the sea and the waves, the humanity that I was alluding to earlier on, is what is releasing the spiritual power for Satan to do many things, but in particular, one specific thing. Give me Matthew 24, verse 12. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Matthew 24, 12. Matthew. And because iniquity shall abound, we now know how it abounds, through the roaring of the waves and the seas. It says, because iniquity shall abound, what is the result? The love of many. I would say it's a majority. Some translations say the majority. The love of many shall what? Wax cold. So the that roaring of the waves is a satanic ploy to charge the air with enough iniquity so that if peradventure any of us who are on the opposite side do not continue to grow in love and develop love and let our love wax cold, that iniquity will overcome. Notice something here though. Notice that word wax. The opposite is wane. But before I do, I want to compare two scriptures so that you understand exactly what I'm saying. Keep your electronic finger on this place. Eh? Just put it aside. And now give me Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Help me, Lord, quickly. Songs 8, 7. Keep your finger here. Now, look what it says. We're talking about waters again here. We're talking about floods. It says, many waters cannot do what? Quench love. Neither can the floods of iniquity drown it. You know why? Love is the greatest. God's love is the greatest force in the universe. Nothing made or, but through man can overcome it. The only way, says, if a man will give all the substance out for love, but the essence is, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. In other words, there's nothing coming out iniquity that can overcome the love of God. Except, the person in whom that love is allows the love to wax cold. And all the iniquity that is being released in the earth is targeting those who have that love inside them. You and I. Those who profess, we love you, Lord. We have agape love. The whole object of Satan's iniquitous release of power is to force you through circumstances. To force you and I to give up that love. To allow it to wax cold. It won't happen immediately. It's not going to swamp. You can't do that. But you see, over time, if you're not doing the things that we're going to be talking about, over time, that love will wax cold. We're talking a little about perilous times. If you read that perilous times, in I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, you see that in the first verse, he talks about perilous times to come. Men shall be lovers of self. That's the object, to make you love not God but yourself. Now in verse 4 it says that, you know, that men shall be lovers of pleasures more than God. Yeah, it's not that they didn't love God at all. It's just that something else took the place of God in their hearts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things that we seek from God. Hello, somebody. I want to eat any. What we shall eat? What we shall wear? What? Where is my children's school fees coming from? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hey, things instead of the kingdom, instead of his love, instead of his character. Amen? These are the things that plague Christians, that force, that cause the waxing. It's an imperceptible thing. If you're not watching for it, if you're not, you have to be vigilant, be sober. Your adversary goes about how? Like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He will not devour you in Jesus' name. But that's the answer. Must be sober, must be vigilant. Amen. And all these things that seem to cloud us, our thinking, the things that says God knows we have need of them. He's going to bring it according to his own. That's the usually of the problem. God, where are you? Oh, I perceive it's my time now to have a Jeep. I'm just sitting. I mean, don't laugh. Hello? Somebody's laughing as if he hasn't thought. Okay, you didn't think about it. What about your time now to be a head of the service or head of your department? And instead of leaving things like that in God's hands, oh, you know, my child must be like this now. Eh? And usually the problem is comparing yourself with other people. You look at and say, he starts just shining. God, what about me? And you now go and do night vigil. Hello, somebody. And instead of being heavenly minded, gradually over a period of time, you become more, you will not become just that person becomes more and more worldly focused. Instead of setting the affections on things that are above, the things of the earth, the mundane things, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, what we shall, where we are going, how we're going to pay our bills. Hello, somebody. I think you're the only one that has bills. Bible says, they say, man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The thought there is a man's life consisteth in the abundance of the agape love that is in your heart, because that's what gives all things. Amen. So, folks, what are we saying? And so this waxing takes place over a period of time until, before you know it, you are like Pastor was talking about those ones who all they work, they're looking for things as opposed to looking for God. They're still Christians. They haven't said they're not born again. But effectively, the devil has them in his grasp. Can take them out at his own will. God forbid, that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And because all these things are in their heart, instead of seeking God, they begin to roar, begin to fulminate. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process. After a while, you're praying for things and not to pray to God, not to seek the kingdom of God, not to seek first the kingdom. God didn't say seek only. He said seek first. Folks, there's only one solution. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17 to 18. This is the only antidote for this roaring of humanity today. And if you shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Give me 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4. Herein, we all know it. So I'm not saying anything new, but it's being re-echoed. So that we now understand where we are, the times and the seasons we are, and what we ought to do. Amen. Herein, in this is our love made perfect, that we who roar out of Zion, hello, that we have identified who we is. It's not everybody. It's we who are roaring out of Zion, that we may have boldness in this day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Next verse. This is a solution. There is no fear in love. Say it loud. There is no fear in love. So all those waves that are roaring do not have love. And that is the whole problem of humanity. They don't have a nature, the life, and the character of God in them. And that's why they're roaring. See, because, you know, like Pastor always says, there's a consciousness of God in every human being. And when that consciousness is not filled, what they try and do is try and fill it with things like chieftaincy titles and, you know, all these titles that don't do anything. Or he goes and buys a new car, goes and buys a huge yacht, you know, to feel good. Or he goes and seeks an appointment in the government. You know, all those things cannot fill that God hole. The only thing that can fill that God hole in every human being, because every man was and woman was made in the image and likeness of God, is God and his love. So because there's no love, there's fear. But he says, and this is a solution I bring today. He says what? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Or we could put it this way. It is the degree that your love is made perfect that you will have no fear. So, hello? Anybody here is afraid? Don't be discouraged. Don't throw your hands up in despair. Maybe things haven't been going your way recently and you're just wondering, God, where am I going to do? You know, things are tight for everybody. Like I said, this change has not changed the way we thought it would change. But it's going to change. Because there are some people that are roaring. There's some people that will not cease, not keep silent, except Nigeria become a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we will not keep silent, though. Ha! Silent care. In fact, we're going to amplify it a few degrees. Amen. So this is, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. You will not be in torment in Jesus' name. This is our mandate. So to perfect, this is the only antidote to the fear and the roaring of humanity. The perfection of divine love, the character of Christ in our hearts that totally insulates us from the fear that is being released by the abounding iniquity of these times. I these things are so real. I was watching the program some time ago, and I saw, I think it was CNN. And there was this Muslim parent, you know, he was in America after the election. The guy was real sober. And I was interviewing him, and he said he's afraid. I said, he said he's afraid because he saw the reaction of his son. The day of the election, when the election was going on, the son went to bed and he told his son, by tomorrow morning, president will be Hillary Clinton will be elected as president. And of course, we know what happened overnight. Some of us who stayed up all night, that night, praying and I said, Lord, but we thank God. God cannot overrule the will of the people. What the people want. Remember Simon? He could not overrule the will of Israel to have a king that God did not want for them. I said, give them a king. That's what happened. Anyway, so the man wakes up in the morning. His son is going to school. Oh, dear man. And he was almost in tears when he was saying, he said, and I woke up my son. And he said, Dad, did Hillary win? The man said, he couldn't answer. So the guy kept on asking at breakfast, Daddy, who won? So when he told him Hillary Clinton, said, the guy dropped his, said, does that mean we're going to have to leave America? It's a little boy. We see words have power. That just stuck him. And I said, Lord, have mercy. A little boy, 5 years old, he understood the words that guy was projecting. And it stuck in his heart. But if this man weasel, we all done. Lord, have mercy. You know what I think? I think God is going to speak to that guy in the nice seasons. And he's going to dial down a lot of that stuff. Most of it is impractical anyway, but God is going to get across to him. The king will not be able to sleep. But it is, as I said, the degree to which we perfect the love of God in our hearts is the degree to which we are insulated from the fear and the angst and these disquieting times. Amen. The only antidote to abounding iniquity, to abounding fear, is what we must do. Perfect agape divine love. Now, we all know what agape divine love is. Not filial, which is the friendship kind of love. It's not eros, which is the love a man has towards his wife. Amen. The definition of divine love, Pastor Lee gave this morning, I'll just repeat it running, is, and that's that word, divine. You need to put that divine in that definition on the board. Pastor said it months ago, so you need to correct that definition. Sister Shala, I hope you're listening. Divine love, agape love, is the divine wisdom of God to perceive, the divine compassion to desire, and divine power to do what God will do in every situation, because God is love. Amen. That's it. That's the correct thing. So you need to put all that divine inside and all the definition. Amen. So how now do we get and perfect this divine love? Well, we start from the very source himself. Hello, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Mommy's been preaching this for some weeks now, and it's amazing how, you know, when you obey spiritual oversight, you see results. Huh? There's nothing like it. Thank you, Sister Moruda. Only Sister Moruda spoke up. I heard you loud and clear. Everything that God is, his character, his love, his power, his meekness, his quietness, his humility, everything that God is in his love. Everything. All the fruit of the Spirit is encapsulated in divine love. Amen? And you know what? This is this life is what the Lord Jesus came to earth to give us. He says, I am come that I have life. That's one level. And then I have it more abundantly. You know, as you have life, you also have it more abundantly. Life is what the Father has in himself that he gives to the Son. Hello, Son. Oh, Lord have mercy. Hello, Son. That needs to be our daily, consistent pursuit. The life of God. Nothing else matters after that, too. Not much else. That should be what we seek for every single day. That's it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 and 20. Hello, somebody. Are we getting something out of this? Thank you. God came to give us life, not just have life. And that's the problem. The pastor was saying, most of you just know the life. They don't know the life abundantly. They don't walk in abundance of life. This is the scripture that mommy has been using to preach to us all these months. And I can tell you, folks, that when you get a revelation of this, ask God to open your eyes and your ears. When you understand what God is saying here, he's saying, all I am, all I have, all that I ever will be, I've given to you in life. Only a few amens. Everything here. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you. This is God the Father speaking. Hello. You don't get any higher than this. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, in order to be blessed, therefore choose life. Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know what that means? That means if you don't choose life, you're not only depriving yourself, you're also depriving your generations and all those that are connected to you, that will be connected to you. Because the life in you flows from you to all those that are connected to you, all those that are under your charge, all those that are under your covering. So when the pastor, when we choose life every day, it flows. The anointing of that life flows from them through the skirts of their garments, all those under their covering. That's why you and I will live and not die. And the Bible says, except you be faithful in receiving that which is another man's, who will give you your own? Is your faithfulness in receiving, opening your womb to receive from your spiritual oversight that positions us now to be able to get our own? Because you see, you need that revelation. I say, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Next, what does life do? Next verse. That thou mayest what? Just stop. Thou mayest love. That thou mayest love. It doesn't matter who you're loving, whether it's God or man. But the essence is that life is what is going to help you, enable you to love like God does. Because life is God and God is life. God is life, he's light, and he's love. God is love, says in 1 John 4:6. Amen. And that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, the length of our days, that thou mayest dwell in the... Now, we're not going to a physical promised land, we're going to a spiritual promised land of perfected love. So you, that life takes you there, and steadies you, and plants you in the land to dwell in perfect love forever. Daily receiving this. It's the life of God, oh. Hello, somebody. So what do we do? So we receive the life of God. The source of everything that is God and is in God. The Bible says in him was life, and life was the light of men. It says the Father has life in himself, so has he also given to the Son to have life in himself. So how do we do this practically? We do it by faith. Amen. We make use of the exceeding great and precious promises. I'm going to hit that running. Give me that scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 2 says, 2 Peter. Thank you. John 5:26. Thank you. Read 1 Peter. Sorry, that's it. Chapter 2. 1 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 3. Verse 4. Chapter 1. Hello. Hello. I'm shocked that you don't know that verse. How many years have you been in scripture, Pastor? Everybody knows this. According. Come on, guys. Read up with me. According as his divine power has given unto us some things. All things. Hello. If you're looking for things, this is the things you should be looking for. All things that pertain unto life and being like God. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby, I can't hear you. Whereby are given unto us. I'll never forget when I read this. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might. Why is it might? Because you can choose not to take advantage of them. Or you can choose not to take advantage of them with the wrong heart. Might is a might. You have to have everything in place. You have to take advantage of it. You have to be humility of heart, recognizing that you are tapping into the source of all creation. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and Omega, the source that created you and everything you can see here. It's an awesome responsibility, not to be taken lightly. That you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. Amen. To be partakers of divine means you have a portion, a measure of the life of God. Zoe ministered to you, a human being. I don't know how to describe this. To be like him. So we confess in faith. Amen. All these scriptures that promise the life of God in Jesus' name, you have life. All these things we do it every day. Amen. If you're hearing this for the first time, you can go to our website. You see, you know, instructions there, or you get our book, the little blue book, we'll call it, and start there. But the essence is, we don't stop there. So we do this by faith. And we now move in, again by faith. Amen. We now infuse. I love that word. I went to research that word, infuse. You know what it means? It means infuse, it means to soak. You're not just doing it once. You're doing it as a daily habit. You're doing it consistently. You're soaking your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, your intellect, your surroundings, everything that is you, and your generations of seed, with abundant life every single day. You are immersing all that pertains unto you in our life. Soak. There's a word that also came up when I started doing synonyms. It's called marinate. I don't know what marinate means. The ladies should know. You know, you want to spice chicken. You do that chicken, you put all the spices. You know, if you put it on the chicken itself, it won't go inside. But you put the spices on the chicken and you put it under some little water and you leave it overnight. So that overnight, all that spice of all the goodness, I want a roja. It will enter the chicken. So that when you fry the chicken and you give it to daddy, he say, shege, okare, oti marinate chicken here. Forgive me. That means you marinate the chicken. You soak it until the whole body is infused. It's suffused with all those spices. You soak yourself in life until your very existence and the existence of your seed is suffused, is quote-unquote marinated with the life of God. Hallelujah! So that when they taste of you, when they taste a portion of you, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah! It gets God inside you. Say, God is in this, surely. Are we getting it? Infuse! Why? Your mind, your will, emotions, your body, intellect, with life. So the divine nature now dominates, driving out fear and all these negative confessions, amen? In your soul and flesh, amen? And you speak and think it. Very important. So, we confess daily. Receive the life of God. To love and obey God. We cleave to God in our souls, minds, will, emotions, and our strength, bodies, and intellect. Then we now, after having faith, have even known that faith without works is dead. God says faith without works is dead. So, to this faith, you now add works. Hello, somebody. We now add the works. So what do? We begin, to offer ourselves to the Lord daily by seeking first the kingdom. What does that mean? First the kingdom, using the blood. Hello, somebody. We make divine love our daily priority. And we need to use the blood, the power of the word, the power of the spirit through tongues and travail. And as we're doing that, as we grow and as we roar, that life is being released to suffuse our mind, will, and emotions, to take charge over anything there that is not life. That is a curse. The Bible says, curse causes shall not come. Every curse will be removed in Jesus' name. So all your entire being is perfected in God's character, divine love, driving out the sin nature from our mind, will, emotions, our physical body, that the life of God be manifest, not only your mind, your will, emotions, but in your mortal body. Hello, somebody. The works of faith with power. The Bible says, do the works of faith. The power is released to effect all this. Which is a daily habit. This is what I'm stressing. It's a daily habit. Now, you may miss it every now and then, but don't stand in one place. Keep pressing. Keep pushing. And I particularly love, I've learned that, you know, from Mommy and Pastor's ministrations in the morning. I've learned that. That confession of love is important. The Bible says, you know, that the word is not far away, it's not in heaven, so you bring it down, it's not over the sea, so you bring it. Say the word is nigh thee in thy mouth, so you speak, in thy heart, you believe, and then you do, that thou mayest do it. That's the principle behind it. So, what do? You put the word of God concerning divine love in your mouth. I thank God for the one in the KJV, but if you go to the Amplified, use that one. And then you say, God's love in me. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. God's love. And you know, that thing works. I was in a particular situation. I'm giving my testimony now. I'm in a particular situation when something was irritating me. You know, I didn't even know. I just said, God, please now. I didn't even say, I acknowledge you. No, I said, God, please now. And you know, I opened my mouth. I was amazed to hear myself apologizing. It wasn't me. It was the other person. But I was the one apologizing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Please, forgive me. So after the thing happened, I said, hello, who did that? Because that's not me, you see. That's God in me. And it was happening to anybody. It's not a difficult thing. God is not difficult. Easy, simple. Amen? You can do it. You will do it. You will perfect love. We will perfect love in Jesus' name. Amen? So this is the principle: is speak, think, and then do. Apostle told us that this is why Joseph, how many remember Joseph had no Bible? Joseph stayed in the most iniquitous place of his generation for years and he didn't falter. Why? He was doing this. That's speaking the word, thinking the word, and acting out, released the life of God to him. His father must have taught him. And throughout all the years in Egypt, not once did he make a misstep? Not once. Even when Potiphar's wife wrongly accused him, he was thrown into jail. He stayed sweet. Why? Life was working. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing. Something was in him that was enabling him to endure long, to be patient, to suffer long, to be kind in the face of unkindness, to receive a wrong and say, it's okay. To suffer like the Lord Jesus Christ. Vicarious suffering, which is always redemptive. And he ended up saving all his generation. That's what you and I must also do. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Another witness, two or three witnesses, everybody is established. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was in Babylon, the most wicked nation at that time, under the most wicked king. Hello? The Bible says that when he knew the decree not to worship any other god had been established, he opened his mouth, his window. He said, yeah, man, what are you? He was not afraid. Why? There was something there. You can't do those things by gra-gra. He had walked with God, had fellowship with God through his life to the point that his life was not... If he couldn't serve God and do the praying that he normally did three times a day, his life was not worth living. So he said, hey, I'm not going to stop worshiping God, Three times a day he did it. The first time, maybe nobody saw him. The second time, maybe one or two people. The third time, somebody definitely saw him and went to report. But he was not afraid. No fear in love. Hello, somebody. Perfect love casts out all fear. So, you and I have no excuse, we're closing on, in this day. We have a covenant established on better promises. Amen. Hello, somebody. A better covenant established on better promises. Amen. We have promises by which they didn't have all that. They just obeyed, speak, think, and do. That's all. But we have the promises. We have the word of God. We have the fullness of this word. We will not fail in Jesus' name. And so by the grace of God, we'll perfect and become rooted in divine love and establish the will of God in the earth. Amen. So, as the waves and the seas of humanity continue to roar because of the fear that is in their hearts, we too, Zion, we too must roar out of the agape love, the perfected love of God in our lives. Amen. And then what do? We tear the veil of the nations. We disciple the nations. Amen. Hallelujah. We declare unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God, which is the principal part of love. God has wisdom, it has compassion, and it has power. And remember, your faith worketh through love. To the degree you are perfected, I am perfected in divine love, is the degree to which our faith for all these things we're believing for will come to pass. The mighty power of God at work. Folks, let me just tell you something. They're not going to come to us because of divine love. They'll see, some people will see that. But most people won't see divine love. What they will see is intelligent photographic memory. Intelligent. Incredible photographic memory. What they'll see is incredible computational skills, incredible music learning skills, incredible language learning skills, all these incredible things that we'll be doing. The wisdom of God made manifest. For a greater than Solomon is here. That's what they're going to see. Primarily, then, apart from all that, there's the power for miracles. Miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to do the miracles that God did, the Lord Jesus, and greater. They're going to be zonked. They'll be astounded. Who are these people? Surely, this is God. And because they see that, thank you, language learning skills, artistic skills, music skills, computational skills, this is what is going to commend us to the rest of the nations. They will have seen nothing like before. How can one person have all this and still have power for miracles that nobody has ever seen? Walk on water, raise the dead, feed 150,000. Why feed 5,000 only? The world population is more than that. Feed 5 million if necessary. God is able. But it comes from the love. Everything God did, the Lord Jesus did out of compassion. Nothing for vainglory. Always love. And so they're going to come. They want to know your secret. Then that's where Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 comes in. Then they're going to come. Then they'll come to the house of God, to the Mount Zion, to learn the ways of the God of Jacob and to walk in his paths. Because they see something they've never seen before. And we now show them the reason why we are where we are is divine love. Agape. You too can perfect love. Be like me. You can be like God. Hello, this is where we're going, folks. So all the fear, all the negativity, yes, there'll be fear somewhere, but I don't believe in this end time that fear is going to overcome agape love in us. No, sir. No. So what do we do? Continue to run the race consistently. Thank you, Pastor Wally. One amen. I said continue to run the race. And you don't stop running. You don't stop roaring out of Zion. Amen. Your love must not be allowed to wax cold, though. Because it's that perfect love that will insulate us from the fear that we see all around us. We will not be afraid. We will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that set themselves against us round about. Hallelujah. So you humble yourself. Humble ourselves. Consciously receive the life of God daily, infuse it into your mind, will, emotions, your heart, your flesh, your intellect, infuse it into your people all around you. In fact, as you do that, it goes already going to them. It's already flowing down to them. Just like the fathers, when they receive it, they receive it on behalf of their generations. So it flows from them into us. And then take time, use the life of God to love, obey, and cleave to God, and become like Him. developing, perfecting agape love. Amen. Beloved, this is the message today. Now, for those who are hearing this message for the first time, maybe you're on the internet or whatever, or you're hearing this for the first time, we always have new people coming. Where do you practically start? You may not be able to do too much of the roaring or whatever. I encourage you as much as possible, if you can, to come and practice it. You know, intercession doesn't fall upon you. You have to practice it. And it's caught as you do the practice. But in any case, your own part is just to make sure that you confess love every day. Amen. Receive life. There's a blue book that we have, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God, and a Bible reading. Go get that book and begin to do those 12 love confessions every single day. And then all throughout the day, as much as the Lord helps you, just pray in tongues. That puts you under covering of the fathers of the house. And what they receive in love, in the life of God, what they receive from God will automatically be flowing down to you. So as you're doing yours, that love and that life from them will also be developing you spiritually until you get to a point where you too can begin to generate some power yourself. Amen. Folks, beloved, this agape love that God is perfecting in us is the only answer. That's why I titled it Love Divine, the Only Answer, is what God wants to see most of all in the world today. So, time to come to arise and shine. And let your light show forth. Amen. And the whole world be saved through us. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom by His divine love. Amen. Let's speak to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I trust you'll be able to get something out of this. The most important part is to understand that the attack is against that developing divine love inside you. That's what the enemy wants to quench. But you have a word from the Lord today that there's nothing that he can bring against it that can quench that love in you. Except, God forbid, you and I allow that love to wax cold. And it's a gradual thing. You know what that tells you? That means you need to be daily gauging. So that you're not just standing in one place. Each day, you're receiving the mercy and the grace of God to humble yourself so that you can be more conformed to His image today than you were yesterday. And tomorrow, you repeat the same exercise. And so you're more conformed to His image tomorrow than you are right now today. And that's how he'll be increasing and increasing and increasing until finally you're perfected in love. It's something which I must confess that, I mean, I'm just beginning to understand myself fully. It's a determination that sin will not have dominion over you. Amen? You're not going to walk in darkness. Anything you see that is not like love, and the Holy Spirit is very gracious, He will point it out to you. But you see, you need to pause. You don't override the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, oh, like Pastor Lee was saying this morning, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Now you're moving. Do we get it? Ask God for mercy. Ask Him for finishing grace. Hallelujah. Lord will grant us all great grace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Speak to the Lord as we close. Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. And Lord, I've come to know,
and Lord, I've come to know.
unveil my eyes. Give me revelation, Lord.
Lord, unveil my eyes.
Lord, unveil my eyes. Put a hand upon our hearts and raise another hand up and say, Lord, a hand of submission. Lord, I need your help. A hand upon your heart is a hand that implies consecration, fresh concentration, consecration. And let's say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today concerning, Lord God, developing agape love as the only answer for the pervading fear that is upon the earth in this day. I understand it's only perfected love in me that overcomes all the fear and all the angst of this season. And so help me, Lord God, to determine by your mercy to choose life for myself, for my house, all those connected to me, all those under my charge. So we all will love you, will obey you, and will cleave to you in the name of Jesus. Therefore, by faith, I also infuse my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, my flesh, Lord God, with this abundant life of God. So daily I become more conformed to the image of agape love than I was the previous day. Starting from today, I choose life for myself and my home, my household, and all those connected unto me, so that today I become more conformed to the image of Christ's agape love than I was yesterday in the name of Jesus. I also determine by your mercy and grace to humble myself, not only to use faith, but also to practice the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets free from every law of sin and death, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit to flush out sin from my mind, will, and emotions and flesh, overcoming abounding iniquity as I perfect divine agape love in the name of Jesus. I say, by your mercies and grace, as I do all this, fear, trepidation will be cast out. I will not, Lord, allow your love in me to wax cold because of abounding iniquity, but daily I will seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all the things that I desire. I know because you are faithful, because you are good, because it's your will that we enjoy all things richly, all the things that I'm believing you for will be added to me in due season. I say, I am not afraid. I am not afraid I do not fear, for I know, O Lord, it is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom and perfect me in agape love in this day, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Risen barakasekolo, rembera masakarelo, rabia kalon sekenzare, rembere sekalomi amorobi, rembere salalomi kezangra kakali, ramba liberomi senzele loma babaya, ramba don besekrela, andeloma salakaya mbari, ramba le parakarom balikazare, father sekelo mayamaba, rembido shelelekele, ramba yakasokonka, father rembe salamayaka, rembe salikari tarobele, rembe sekalonzele, mirabo salamom yemitaka. Rimbe sekeko kambasekele, rimbe salon dembele maya balokono dembele, rimbe limnaka, rimbe limisa, balai sekono, rimbe sekono, shetika, nikele li lava kakare, ramba la bika sokele. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin to close, we now pray for our healing health. Divine healing health is very, very important. We need to live long enough to perfect divine love, amen. And to have the fullness of that divine love and all the things, and all the wonderful things that come with it, and all the power to do miracles, signs, and wonders. So, it's very important. Like Pastor says, you will not die, you will live. You will live to declare the glory of God. You will live to declare and demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. You will live to perfect agape love and to declare to the nations of the earth in the name of Jesus. So, let's put one hand upon our bodies, wherever it's hurting, if you have a particular specific place. If not, just put it on your head, it will flow down from the head to the rest of your body. And repeat after me. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that tells me that himself took my infirmities and bore all of my sicknesses, because himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, took my infirmities and bore all my sicknesses. Sickness and infirmity has no legal right in this my body. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the covering of fathers, we say in the name of Jesus, every infirmity, every sickness, every law, sin and death in this body, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I destroy your works in the name of Jesus. I release now by the power of the Spirit that lives in me to the life of God to flow into every part, every nook of my body, bringing healing and health. That life now flows abundantly into my brain, into my lungs, into my liver, into my pancreas, into all my internal organs, my circulatory system, my nervous system, my skeletal system, every part, and into every cell, and every DNA within every cell within my body. And I declare that every part of my body functions as it was designed in the name of Jesus. I say, DNA in this body, function optimally as you were designed. No more errors in the name of Jesus. And therefore, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, I say, I am healed and live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene, of natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I am healed and I'm made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Ronzele benamaga, marebedoke dakari, rembele mzambari biyakalu wambai, fere sembere, rembele sakakoro miyalo pelamu, belele, rembele soronke, papunumege, belema sabbe, bemba spell, bemba spell, marekilo, merebedo, papele mzambapele, ramba tokrelele, rembele amasele benamale, merema sakiyama, mambele, rembele, rembele sokoko piyapale, sakuro, ramba lebe kesaro, ha, nere moro miyapale, biyapak, biyapak, pilemala, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's close. Let's join hands with somebody. We'll close now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we are grateful. We give thanks. And so under the covering of fathers, we say the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. I say we are head and not tail. We prosper in all that we set our hands to do. And we are at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And it shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord puts upon us under the covering of our fathers, the mantles and anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, say, agape love is the greatest. You perfect agape love in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.